This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Four Tops for you. Remember them? Boy, they were big. They had one hit after another. Remember my friend, he loved Bernadette. That was one of their songs. We'll have to play Bernadette one of these days. I love that song. Anyway, good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, along with my partner and buddy, Big Ed Davis. Thank you so very much for joining us. It is Monday, November the 8th. Wow. We're going to be talking in a few minutes with Christopher Koopman. He is with the Center for Growth and Opportunity, and we're going to talk about a new poll. Do you get tired of these polls? I mean, every day we got another poll on something, right? And you wonder, what, do we need to know that? Anyway, this one I think we need to know. It's a new survey they've conducted. It shows people largely distrust both the big tech and the big media. Sometimes you can't tell one from the other, big tech, big media. So we're going to talk to him about that. And speaking of polls, Joe Biden's poll numbers, they went even lower. I think they're about the lowest for any president. They are close to Trump drain numbers. They are down to 38% approval, 38%. That's according to USA Today. Meanwhile, Donald Trump, speaking of him, he says he's going to tell us in about a year, November of next year, whether he'll run again. What do you think? Well, we're going to get some thoughts on it and a few other things with the proprietor of the Barber Poll a little bit later in the program, Andrew Ceresi. You may want to stay tuned for that. And the beacon of hope that our country, you know, on the bottom of the Statue of Liberty, give me your tired, your poor, your mass is yearning to be free. The beacon of hope our country once was is apparently not that beacon anymore, if according to the rest of the world. We have lost it. We're going to check into it, so stay tuned for that as well. And in our ultimate top 10, we have a goodie. For you boxing fans, the top 10 greatest boxing matches ever. Now, that is a subjective thing, but I went to all kinds of places to find out. So we'll see what you think. Top 10 greatest boxing matches ever. By the way, Freedom Works, we are sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop for the best haircut. Guys, in Tampa Bay, the best haircutting barbershop is Andrew's Master Barbershop. It's in the Columbia Plaza, it used to be. It's over in just north of State Road 580 in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin on Overcast Drive. Call first, 727-733-3773. By the way, isn't it great to have Good Morning Clearwater back? I mean, they're the opening act for our show. You know, I came on last week. It was quiet in here, but we got them back. Good Morning Clearwater. God love them, 8 to 10 a.m. Monday through Friday here on the Tan Talk Radio Network. All right. So you wake up another day, another couple of points that Biden drops. A new USA Today Suffolk poll shows President Biden in big doo-doo, exactly 1 year until the midterms. He and Vice President Harris, and also the Dems in general in Congress, face bleak ratings. So the survey was taken after the Tuesday election, and that would have been after that guy in Virginia, that Republican, won the governorship, but it was before this infrastructure bill was passed, okay? And Biden's got rock-bottom approval ratings, 37.8%. 37.8%. 59% disapproval. 59% disapproval. That's pretty bad. 46% of the people in the survey said Biden's done a worse job than expected. 64% said they don't want him to run again. Anyway, the numbers are bad. Numbers are bad. In the meantime, while his numbers are going south, what does he do? What does he do? They reportedly are weighing the market consequences of shutting down an oil pipeline in Michigan. Now, why are we going to shut down anymore? How dependent do we want to be on the Saudi Arabians? Is he got some sort of a pact with them? How about, does he have a pact with Russia or China? Remember he let that pipeline flow from Russia to Germany? Remember that? What is he doing? What is his, why doesn't anybody ask him that question? Man, if I had a chance, I'd stand up. I'd wave my hand until he acknowledged it. Probably never acknowledge it, of course.
And you won't be in the press corps anymore.
No, you're right.
No, I'm serious.
But there's a couple of people that have the guts to ask a couple of tough questions.
Well, if you're cemented in, you know, in the rotation pretty well, then you can. But I'm sure your questions are going to be limited. Before they won't come to you
anymore.
Well,
they won't call on you. Yeah. You'd have to basically throw yourself in front of them. Even then, they wouldn't know
you. When you talk about the oil and running out of oil and stuff, the woman that's in charge of the energy secretary, whatever her name is.
The laughing...
butchy looking blonde.
Grenholm or Grissom or something like that.
The blonde lady?
Yeah, the laughing blonde lady.
She laughed. She said, well, we don't need oil. What we need to do is start looking deeper into solar and electric and all that stuff.
Jennifer Grenholm, I think, is her name.
Her name fits her face.
She's basically, I think she might be called on the carpet. When I heard her say that, I thought, you know what? She might be forced to resign. That was such a dumb answer.
Yeah.
That was such a dumb answer to a question about what are we doing with our oil and gas supply? How are, with all the bad news? And she was laughing. Mm. So, Biden wants to shut down an oil pipeline now in Michigan. By the way, it was Jennifer Granholm. You know, she was the former governor of Michigan. Now, why would she want a pipeline shut down there? How is that going to affect the workers in Michigan, right? So she's now Biden's energy secretary. And she even said, by the way, yesterday that... heating prices are going to go up. I mean, can Biden do anything worse than he's doing? Could he do anything worse? He screwed up the border. He wants to make almost $500,000 payments to some illegal immigrants because of a separation, which was called for to separate children from parents to make sure that they were indeed coming together and everything else. There was all kinds of things going on with that. The prices, supply chain, everything. So are we surprised that he's at 37.5%? I'm surprised it's not lower.
Do you see Kamala's numbers?
Her numbers are lower.
26.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to get
She's
to the point
where... She's the invisible woman, though.
It's going to be get to the point when they say Kamala Harris, people are going to go, who?
I think you're right. To her credit, she's kept her mouth shut. That's
her best feature.
Yes. That still hasn't helped.
It's her best feature.
Oh, my goodness.
Stand in the back, keep your mouth shut.
Yeah. I wonder what she's thinking when he's up there blubbering like he is.
They probably got her mouth super glued shut because you wear the mask and you'll never know.
I know.
You know?
I just wonder what she is thinking when Biden is talking.
What's for lunch?
Boom. All right. Thank you very much for your cogent response, Ed. Let's take our break. When we come back, we are going to talk about this trust. Wait till you hear about some of these poll numbers when it comes to big tech and the media.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Do you have trouble with communicating, or are you drowning in clutter? You are not alone. There is a solution. This is Christiana, your clarity coach. I can help you find the clarity you need, and it's easier than you think. Whether it's your communication, your mind, or your disorganized physical space, join me Wednesdays at 5 p.m. for Clarity Corner with Christiana, and let's do this together. Remember, that's Wednesdays at 5 p.m. on Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
We are back on a brisk Monday in Tampa Bay. It's very sunny and brisk out there. I kind of like it, really. It's very nice. We're delighted to have Christopher Koopman join us. He is Executive Director of the Center for Growth and Opportunity. And we're going to talk about a poll that CGO, his group, and YouGov combined to release, which has to do with how trustful people in this country are when it comes to big tech and the media. Christopher, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me on again.
It is our pleasure to have you on again, and this is a very interesting poll. Golly, we've been talking about polls all show so far, but this shows, I guess Americans largely think that the techies need to be kind of discombobulated. They're too big. They need to be regulated. And they don't hardly believe what the media has to say anymore. Kind of negative feelings about all of this, right?
Yeah, it's quite striking. Although I'm sure predictable in some ways. You look at our questions about do you trust these certain companies and levels of government with your data, and you find that across the board, most Americans don't trust big tech companies with their data. And then you get to questions, as you mentioned, of are tech companies too big? Almost 75% of Americans say that's true. But then you get into questions about what should we do about it, right? Should government break these companies up into smaller companies? Should government be more involved in social media? And that's where things start to break down along age and political party, and you start to see a lot of disagreement about what America should do about the tech industry.
Yeah. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what they should do? For instance, I see you've got a breakdown in terms of age groups, I guess baby boomers. I am one of those. They call for regulation. Now, I would think the older groups would tend to think, you know, less government is better. Tell us what you found.
You would think so. And most of the news that you see today would make you think that it's the younger generations that are the most sensitive to speech that offends them or things they don't like to see and more interested in having the government or some level of regulation involved in protecting them from things they don't like. What the polling actually shows is that that's the exact opposite is true. The older you are, the more likely you are to be in favor of speech regulations, the more likely you are to think that social media sites should be held responsible for offensive content, and really the more likely you are to think that news companies and social media companies should be held responsible for false or inaccurate content posted on their platforms or reported on their sites, which seems to run counter to what we would think about the sort of the generational lines and views on free speech and government.
Yeah, the only thing I can think of is maybe it's because the older generation is a bit more prudish, and they see the content, I guess you might say, of online tech companies and the like as you know, it's not the way things used to be. You know what I mean? I don't know if that factors into it. I'm just guessing. Because you would think most people that are older don't like too much government control. Now, this is this not, Christopher, kind of leading to the idea that most Americans want the government to do something about big tech and the media, to get their hand into them a little bit more?
Yeah, and I think that's something that does jump out in our polling. So, for example, we ask questions about would your life be better or worse if certain companies were broken up? If Facebook were broken up, would your life be better or worse? If Amazon were broken up, would your life be better or worse? We ask about all sorts of tech companies, and I think it gets to exactly what you're talking about, and that's there's just sort of this punitive perspective that Americans have around tech companies, that we don't like them, we don't trust them, break them up. But then it really gets a little more challenging. You think a company like Zoom offers one product, video chat, right? That's all they do. In many ways, it was something that kept a lot of us connected during all of these lockdowns and when we were all forced to be in our homes over the last year and a half. It was, in some ways, our lifeline to our friends and families, and yet almost a third of Americans said their life would be better off if Zoom were broken up. Broken up into what? I'm not sure. Yeah. They offer one product. So in some ways, there's this punitive perspective is the way we've really been unpacking it and talking about it is Americans just seem to not like the media, not like the tech platforms, and they're willing to sort of engage in this level of punishment for these institutions that may actually make us all worse off. Certainly make us worse off.
Yeah.
You look at the idea that, you know, 81% of Americans agree that free speech is important, right? 81%. That still means that there's 19% of Americans that are unsure. Or don't believe that's true. But then you get into some of these really specific questions, like things about should media companies be held responsible for biased or inaccurate reporting, and you get a good chunk of people that are like, yeah, new for this, which blatantly violates the First Amendment. So in some ways, I think the distrust and hatred or unhappiness with these institutions are allowing people to sort of loosen their grip on fundamental principles that quite frankly have been the bedrock of America.
We're talking with Christopher Koopman. He is executive director of the Center for Growth and Opportunity. They have conducted a poll. They combined, got together with YouGov, and they released this poll on Americans' trust in big tech and, quite frankly, in the media. Here's the thing, Christopher. We've got this concept that more government needs to be applied, and I always worry about, I think, the very intrusive hand of government. I used to think that most people realized that, and they don't. For instance, looking at the internet and the way it has evolved, as compared to something controlled by the government, let's say the internet, kind of the Wild West, everything was, you know, every other month we had something new coming out, you know, and we have just everything. I mean, if you go back like 5 years, you wouldn't recognize the internet, the things that we can do now that we couldn't do 5 years ago or 10 years ago, you know. And in a way, it's because we haven't had the government get too involved. They've allowed it to go wherever it wants to go. And I think that's a good thing. But it's starting to look like, well, it's a good thing, except when you've got some of the, you know, opinions and this and that that get into the, you know, get into the internet, and that they want stifled, but they don't want the internet itself to stop evolving. I don't know if I'm making myself very clear, but you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So I think that the perfect example that this is sort of borne out in our polling is the relationship between people following the news and their views on these tech companies. The more likely you are to follow political news, the more likely you are to distrust certain companies based on your politics. The less likely you are to follow the political news, the more likely you are to think these companies actually produce a good product.
Mm-hmm.
You're sort of evaluating the company on its merits, maybe not the politics of its executive. In that way, you know, it's exactly what you're saying. People who disconnect politics, right? Like, we view everything today through the lens of politics. If we stopped doing that, I think we'd realize that there are a lot of things happening, extremely innovative industries, things that are actually fundamentally changing our lives for the better around us. And if we stopped viewing them as political foes or adversaries, we might actually have a chance to see how great these products are. You see that in the polling. I think to your question about government regulation and innovation online, you know, we don't have to imagine what it would look like if the government controlled the internet. For the first decade or so of the internet as it existed, it was heavily regulated by the government. It wasn't until 1993, 1996, in this range, the Clinton administration starts unwinding the government's grip on the internet, and that's where you see this massive boom, right? I mean, we've seen, you know, 20-some-odd years of innovation online specifically because the government wasn't involved. And that's where we get back to questions about what the government should do, and this is where politicians need to be very, very careful, is they're viewing people's views on big tech companies as licensed to do something. So when we ask a question like, tech companies are too big, nearly 75% of Americans agree with that statement. But then when you ask, should government break these companies into smaller companies, just above 50% think that the government should be involved in that. And then when you say, should the government be involved in more regulating social media, it's like 40%. So in some ways, the folks in Washington right now, and you see these bills just flowing out of the Senate and the House that are trying to regulate and break up tech companies, stop the way that they can invest and grow and build their products for their users. And they're basing that a lot on bad information. They think Americans want them to do that, and it's because they hear Americans saying tech companies are too big. It turns out, yeah, that people think tech companies are too big. They just don't trust the government to do something.
You know, it's amazing. The more we talk, I'm listening to you, and you're making very good sense. I'm thinking back to the founders of our country. Their very first amendment was freedom of speech, you know, basically the freedom to say what you'd like. And this is a big freedom of speech issue, I think, you know, when it comes right down to it here. And the idea that it's protected, and sometimes we forget about that. And when the government gets involved like some people want it, and even when it does, it's basically curtailing freedom of speech. If you think about it, it's freedom of speech. I want to say and do this, and you're saying I'm not allowed to say and do that. You know what I mean? It's very interesting. This whole thing is so interesting. Go ahead.
And then you think the one of the biggest justifications a lot of folks on the right and the left are using to regulate speech online is that these social media companies have become, quote, the public squares of the future, that this is where the most important conversations are happening, this is where people are sharing their political thoughts and beliefs, and we need to heavily regulate these companies to ensure folks have, quote, sort of freedom of speech online. And we polled these questions, right? We asked people, like, you know, do you use social media companies as the primary channel to share your beliefs? And, like, almost 70% of folks said that they don't. You know, another 40% said they don't even feel comfortable doing that. And then only 25%, roughly a quarter of Americans, believe that social media platforms are even the primary channel by which important public policy conversations are taking place.
Mm-hmm.
In some ways, this whole idea of social media companies as the new public square is
overrated.
Really bunk. It's overrated.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's one more facet. I mean, I think we would both agree that that tension between people politically is maybe the highest it's ever been right now. It certainly feels that way to me. I go to weddings, I go to places, and you can get people not talking to each other because of politics. And most of us, I think, know people that won't talk to each other because of politics, in their families. I mean, it's gotten that strong. And so now, you know, we're talking here about getting involved in somehow shutting down opinions on free market contraptions, platforms, right? I'm not so sure it's a good idea. Your thought?
Yeah, I know. I totally agree with you. And I feel like I can't take my kid to a soccer game without being worried that politics is going to come.
Exactly.
And you look at the swings in opinion, right? The swings in opinions, and you've seen this. You know, people who were pro one policy in 2020 are anti a policy in 2021, and vice versa. And we even see this borne out in the data with distrust of government, right? We've been doing this polling for about a year and a half now, and in July of 2020, Democrats overwhelmingly distrusted the federal government, and Republicans overwhelmingly trusted the federal government. In November of 2020, the numbers almost completely...
Isn't that amazing?
Nothing happened other than an election.
Two different presidents and two different administrations? Is that why?
You would think that that's probably what changed it, but remember, the administrations didn't change until January. So all of a sudden, Democrats trusted the federal government because an election was had, and Republicans distrusted the federal government.
I have never known Republicans to trust the federal government, I'll be honest. Even in the best of times, there's always been more of a libertarian, we got too much government bent. That's why I'm wondering about that number. But go ahead.
Yeah, and our number came out to 37% of Republicans distrusted the federal government in July of 2020. In August of 2020,
really?
That number completely flipped to 66.
I'd find that number crazy. I would think 70%, 67% of people in the Republican Party generally distrust government. I mean, we're talking about federal government, not local government.
Federal government. Local government, the distrust was holds about a third. Doesn't matter if you're Democrat, Republican. About two-thirds of people trust their local government, and about one-third completely distrust their local government.
Remember what Reagan said, trust but verify?
Yeah.
He shouldn't trust at all. You can verify all you want. But Christopher, thank you so very much. It's a pleasure to have you back on. Very interesting topic. Thank you. And I'm looking forward to talking again. I'm sure we'll have another survey that you guys will do, and we'll want you back to talk about it. So thank you so much.
Sounds great. Thank you for having me, and we'll talk soon.
All right. Christopher Koopman, the Center for Growth and Opportunity, CGO. All right, we're gonna take our break. And when we come back, speaking about polls, Joe Biden's numbers in the toilet again. We got Donald Trump saying in a year, I'm going to let you know whether I'm going to run again. Let's get some thoughts on this from the proprietor of the barber pole himself, Andrew Ceresi.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
It's a beautiful morning.
Hi, I'm Paul Allen.
And I'm Tracy Allen.
Please join us every weekday morning from 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
You can also watch us on Facebook Live on our Good Morning Clearwater Facebook page and on YouTube. Just search Tantalk Radio Network.
Every morning we'll be talking about current events, sports.
Yay, sports!
News, entertainment, weather, and traffic. Have an opinion? You can call us.
That's right. Join us every weekday morning, 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on a Monday, a brisk Monday in Tampa Bay. It's a beautiful day, though. Very sunny. I guess we are expecting, what, lower than normal temperatures, do you think, Ed, the next several days? Are we going to keep this kind of weather for a few days? What do you
think? Actually, your brisk weather of 65 degrees right now.
Pretty good.
We'll we'll be in the 70s, mid-70s for the rest of the week, and then another cold front will come through.
Wow.
On Saturday.
Where's the climate change or the global warming?
I don't remember it being this cool this early. Remember, we had a cold front actually 2 to 3 weeks ago. I don't remember coming out, but that's that climate change for you.
There you go. It can work both ways, can't it?
Yeah.
So, Biden is doing everything wrong, of course, in our opinion, in most of the cases. Federal appeals court has suspended his new vaccine requirement for private companies. U.S. Court of Appeals for the Fifth Circuit, that's down in New Orleans, said there was, quote, cause to believe there are grave statutory and constitutional issues with his vaccine mandate. So, you know, this idea that everybody, you know, he can just wave a wand and tell everybody you got to get vaccinated. Not so much. Also, Democratic Governor Laura Kelly, now she is in Kansas, which is, how the heck did she ever get elected? She's a Democrat. Kansas is about as red as you can be. Mm. Anyway, she came out against Biden's vaccine mandate, a Democrat. She says, let the states decide, basically, not the government in Washington, because every state's a little bit different. She's exactly right. She said yesterday, I reviewed the new vaccine mandate from Biden. While I appreciate the intention, I don't believe this directive is correct. And states have been leading the fight, she says. It is too late to impose a federal standard now. I think she's exactly right.
Hey, before you bring on the
Andrew is chomping at the bit. Yeah,
I know. I wanted you know the whole "Let's Go Brandon" thing.
Yes.
Do you know that Governor DeSantis got into the act?
Yeah, tell us.
He actually did bring that up. Corporations with their woke agenda. When you look at the Biden, the Brandon administration, in terms of what they're
Oh, my God. Andrew, did you hear that? Or was that, Andrew, was that a slip of the tongue by Governor DeSantis, do you think?
That's my boy, buddy. He says it like it is. I told you, I know him since he's grown up. The kid's got cajuns of steel and tells you like it is.
Yeah, I think you're right. He seems to almost enjoy standing up, kind of like Trump, you know, kind of leads with his chin a little bit.
You know, Paul, it's like I tell everybody. What you have running in Washington now is Woodstock. All the 70-year-olds, they were all the draft dodgers. They all went to college, you understand, to get out of Vietnam. The ones that are in their late 30s and 40s, they were raised by these people. So, you know, you got a bunch of hippies trying to run the country. Now you got a governor that's a Navy SEAL officer, did 3 tours of active duty. You think these people scare them?
I don't think so at all.
Not at all. A little bit, buddy.
So we're talking a little bit about how Biden couldn't do more to make himself look unlikable and ineffective. You know, everything he's doing seems to be exactly the polar opposite. He's going to pay off illegal immigrants. He's going to cancel another pipeline in Michigan. He's going to bring home the troops from Afghanistan before he brings home the rest of the Americans. He's doing everything wrong. Go ahead.
As my father used to say, everything he touches turns to poop.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. And you know, hey, think of how he's doing everything wrong. What about the 70 planes he's sneaking here in the middle of the night to the state of Florida, Paul?
Yeah, that's another thing. What's DeSantis going to do? We're talking about shipping illegal immigrants into Florida, right?
Know, if you think about it, 70 planes. Just say on an average of 300 people in an airplane, right?
I don't know how many, but yeah, could be.
Okay, 737 going to carry 330 people. Okay, you figure that's what they're using.
Now, where are they landing? Where are they landing, these 70 planes?
I don't know, Paul. I've heard some rumors in Jacksonville. But, you know, Barack Obama did the same thing. I forgot what year it was, but in the middle of the night on UPS airplanes, he brought 2,000 illegals into Florida, into Clearwater.
Did he really?
Yes, he did.
Well, he was running from 2008 to 16, so some point there.
Somewhere in between there. Yeah. Yes, definitely.
I see. Oh,
definitely.
Boy.
So, you know, what they're doing, Paul, they're just trying to balance the field. Joe's doing this to balance it. He figures it's all Republican now. He wants to keep it fair, so he figures these people all vote for them, you know?
By the way, did you read that for the first time ever, there are more registered Republicans in Florida than there are Democrats?
There's a reason behind that, isn't there?
Isn't that good news? I mean, for people that believe in kind of the red state mentality, we were worried that all these blue mentality people were moving down from New York and New Jersey.
Now, you know, Paul, just like these idiots are pushing the children from 5 to 11 to get the vaccine, right?
Yeah.
You know how many children have died in this country with COVID?
Virtually 0.01% or something like that.
103.
Yeah.
Now, why would you risk these kids with this shot? You notice Newsom, they say he's been missing for 10 days because he got his booster shot, his third shot. Nobody's seen him for 10 days.
I'm sorry, who?
Newsom, the governor of California there, the goofball.
Oh, the goofball Newsom, the nuisance, the governor.
That's right.
He's missing, yeah. Huh? What do you think
he
happened to him?
I don't know. He must have got a good reaction from his third booster shot. boosted his virus. Who knows? And while we're talking, do you know that Kamala Harris is on her way to France to talk to them about their immigration problem?
Oh, that's what we need. We need people that don't know what they're doing here with immigration to go over there and tell somebody else what to do.
I'm telling you.
It's not the first time we've had that.
This is disgusting. You're going to see more and more, let's go, Brandon, let's go, Brandon. And, you know, this Durham investigation is starting to impress me a little bit here.
Yeah.
Seems like things are going down.
Yeah.
And I hear the next on the list is going to be Peter Strzok, James Comey, and Lisa Page.
Yes, and we remember them as they were trying to stir up the dust with this so-called Russian get-together with Donald Trump. Obviously, that thing was completely... Now, isn't it amazing how the media is ignoring it?
Totally ignoring it, Paul.
Yeah.
You know, it's amazing. The media should be allowed to be sued.
You know, it's hard to do that because of the freedom of speech issue, but I know the feeling. It makes your blood boil. It makes your blood boil.
Lying, you know? How about lying to the public?
Yeah. They can get away with it. They can get away with it. They'll say, well, this is our opinion, you know? Mm-hmm. Now, I want to ask you about in 1 year. Now, here's Donald Trump goes on, I think it was Fox News this weekend, and he said he will probably wait until after the 2022 midterm election to formally announce whether he's going to run. He said, I'm certainly thinking about it. He said, I think a lot of people will be very happy. Well, you can interpret, you know, with his decision, you can interpret that both ways. There are going to be a lot of people very happy if he says, no, I'm not going to run too. But what do you think? What do you think?
I think my plan is going into effect. That's what I think.
Okay, now let's talk about this, because this is your plan where he gets back via the Speaker of the House, right?
That's right.
Now, how is he going to do that?
Well, Matt Gaetz already said he will nominate Donald Trump to be Speaker of the House.
He's a Florida congressman, Matt Gaetz.
He's a Florida congressman.
Yeah.
And he already said if Republicans take over the House, he will nominate Donald Trump for Speaker of the
Speaker.
House.
Okay, now that's a possibility. I think there's an excellent chance a year from now that the Republicans take control of the House. Although, by the way, that would be, I'm going to be so berserk with sorrow to see Nancy Pelosi go.
Paul,
what?
This is why I'm telling you.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing Trump, how you know him, revenge is sweet.
Yeah.
Okay? Now, it's like I told you. He's going to be what? He's about 74 now, maybe?
He's 75.
75, okay. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah.
Now he becomes Speaker of the House. They pop out Biden if he's still alive by then. He's probably going to be in a nursing home. He's at 28.6%, I think. Now, I know you say 38, but I know it's 10 points lower than that. Anything the media says, it's 10 points lower.
It's underground plumbing numbers, actually.
There's no question about it. Yeah. Below the frost line.
Yes, it is.
But
So what you're saying, Speaker, they're going to ease out Biden before he becomes...
Well, who knows? Well, either that or he's going to die, one of the two.
All right.
He's going to be in a memory care unit somewhere.
Yeah.
Depends changed.
So now we got to deal with Kamala.
Then you got to deal with Kamala. There's no big deal. You get her impeached. Okay.
Okay. Impeached for being an ignoramus?
Probably. I mean, that ought to work.
That should.
Okay. They get rid of her. Trump is now president for 2 years.
It's a very interesting scenario.
Okay. Now he straightens things out, Paul. For 2 years, he starts straightening things out. Then comes Ron DeSantis.
Yes. And he will follow Trump as president.
Exactly.
Yeah. I'm just wondering why Trump just doesn't announce he's going to run in 2 years and win the primary, and away we go.
No, that's not fun that way.
Oh, I see.
Trump likes revenge.
Yeah.
And I don't blame him. I do it myself. And I think most people do, especially when they've been screwed over like that. Revenge is sweet.
Yeah.
Don't let anybody tell you no. Nice guys in the flesh, buddy.
That's a nice warm feeling when you... when you're able to take it out on that person after
Trump taking that gavel out of Nancy Pelosi's hand
and hitting her over the head with it.
She won't want to let it go. She'll be holding on with two hands. But, Paul, it's the most logical reason to save this country. Let's face it, we can't take 3.5 more years of this. Do you know that only 6% of his so-called infrastructure bill, 6% of that is going for infrastructure?
Yeah.
The one they just approved.
Oh, sure.
13 dirty Republicans that voted along with him.
Yeah.
They're disgusting, vile people and need to be gone.
Well, I tell you what, they're going to be primaried. Because those names are going to be... if you were running against this guy, wouldn't you bring up, or lady, wouldn't you bring up the fact that they voted for this nonsense, this infrastructure bill that's not really totally an infrastructure bill?
That's right. You wouldn't have to be like Hillary Clinton and make up the story. This is all the truth.
Yeah.
You know, there's no question about it, Paul, but I think what's going to happen is just what I'm talking about. It looks more and more like that, and wouldn't it be great if Durham brings down a bunch of these people? I mean, everybody knows that it was Hillary Clinton's money behind it.
I think that the tentacles of the Durham probe are seeping towards Hillary.
There's no question about it.
Yeah.
They already said it.
I think she should... she's going to lawyer up, although she's always lawyered up. She's been lawyered up forever.
Listen, she could be lawyered up all she wants. What she did was dirty, disgusting, and she's going to go down for it.
Yeah.
The man up above takes his time, but the truth will come out. And when it does, the hammer comes down on him, Paul.
Yeah, just
and
as some...
make it,
mm-hmm. Go ahead.
It'll make it even more for Trump going in to do what he's doing.
Wow. Andrew,
you know, he doesn't want to be president until he's 80. I wouldn't want to be. 78's a good age. Do your business for 2 years.
Yeah. Interesting. Andrew, it's always a pleasure. Oh, there's so much to talk about. Let's look forward to Wednesday with you, my friend.
You got it, buddy. You have a good day.
All right. The same.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. There's so much going on, so much to talk about. We can't get it all in, you know? All right. Let us take our final break. And when we come back, you know, we used to be the beacon of hope. America was the beacon of hope. It's apparently not that beacon anymore, according to the rest of the world. We're going to take a look. I'm gonna raise a fuss, I'm gonna raise a holler.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on the Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets. From animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are in the know and in the now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune in to the show on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
back for the final segment. By the way, got to tell you, we are on every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time here on the Tantalk Radio Network. So mark your calendars, will you? But if you can't join us live, thanks to Big Ed, go to our website. We got podcasts. You can listen to us any old time. Just go to OurFreedomWorks.com. O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks.com. I find this, Ed, to be very depressing. I found this in your favorite paper, the Tampa Bay Times.
Pravda.
Over the weekend. And they were just reprinting it. It came from the Washington Post group. But anyway, it says here, few people around the world in developed nations view American democracy as the beacon for the rest of the world anymore. And this comes from a Pew Research survey. They asked about 19,000 adults in 17 advanced economies around the world, including America, about their view of American society and politics. Now, here was the interesting thing about it. Outside of the U.S., 17% said U.S. democracy sets a good example for other countries. 1/7. Why? Now, 57% said U.S. democracy used to be a good example. Used to be. But has not been in recent years. And that really got me to thinking about what we have done in this country. We used to be the beacon of hope. And people would look to us and say, you know, look how America does everything.
I think what we've lost is minding our own business. And too many times when there's a tragedy, and there's tragedies around the world, the first ones with their hand out are other countries. And they're looking to us to foot the bill or whatever. We don't close our borders. We don't monitor who's coming in and who's going out. And the economy itself,
we've lost control of ourselves.
Yeah, the answer to high gas prices is let's start looking at alternate energy sources like electric cars and stuff. And by the way, we need to spend billions and trillions of dollars on global warming. And oh, by the way, just because we've mentioned we're buying more electric cars, there's less hurricanes this year. So buy a car, electric car, get rid of the hurricanes. That's their thinking.
Yeah.
I mean, it's...
You know what's interesting and ironic? These countries, most of them are kind of more socialistic or have been. They looked at us at one time. We were less socialistic than they were. And they looked at us as the beacon of the world. Now, as we become more like them, they don't like it.
Well,
isn't that funny? Yeah. Ironic. All right, Ed, before we go to our top 10, I was looking at the Bucks, or looking for the Bucks. Where were the Bucks this weekend? Did they take the week off?
Took the week off.
Okay. So they'll be back next week. Anything new on the Lightning front? Is everybody healthy? They're kind of struggling a little bit.
Still banged up. Yeah,
Kucherov. Is he playing?
Not yet.
Okay. Hey, we're going to stay with sports on our top 10. Ed, are you a boxing enthusiast?
Not really.
It's not your number one sport?
No.
Okay. Maybe I should toss this out. But it's the top 10 greatest boxing matches of all time, according to BOLA, B-O-L-A, V-I-P, all right?
I know the Thrill of Manila's got to be in there somewhere.
Yeah, I would think so. All right, here we go. Number 10. Do you remember Andy Bowen versus Jack Burke? Of course you don't, and I don't either.
No.
It took place in the 1800s, and it's a boxing match broke a record as Bowen and Burke, they, you know how they fought for 110 rounds. That's why it made the top 10.
Well, they probably had
110 rounds.
Back then, they probably had boxing gloves made out of marshmallows. I could go 110 rounds with those gloves.
Actually, it was the other way around.
Was it bare knuckle?
It was almost bare knuckle if it wasn't. Can you imagine what they must have looked like after 110 rounds?
It's a lot of running around in the ring, I'll tell you that.
Number 9. Marvin Hagler versus Tommy Hearns. Do you remember those names?
Yeah, I remember that rivalry.
1985. Many believe best middleweight fight in boxing history. First round, by the way, was really tough. Where they really whacking each other around. All right, number eight. Sugar Ray Robinson versus Jake LaMotta. You've heard those names,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I've heard those.
All right. This is back in either, it doesn't show the date, but it's right around 1950. And Robinson and LaMotta fought a crazy six times. And this one was their most memorable. All right, number seven. Jack Dempsey. Ever heard of him?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
And Louis Firpo. First Latin American fight in the world heavyweight situation. The Argentiner, Louis Firpo, dropped Dempsey almost immediately in the first round. Dempsey responded, dropping Firpo seven times and winning. All right, number six. Julio Chavez versus Meldrick Taylor. Okay. I don't know much about it. Spectacular battle, exhilarating from the start, and Chavez endured. Number five. Remember Sugar Ray Leonard?
Sure.
Sugar Ray Leonard versus Thomas Hearns.
The class act, Sugar Ray Leonard.
Yeah.
Very classy guy.
Yeah. I haven't seen him. Have you seen him on TV much lately?
No.
Okay. Leonard and Hearns, two biggest boxers at the time. Very anticipated fight. Pretty even till the sixth round when Leonard struck Hearns in the chin, leaving him stumped.
Mm.
All right. Number four. George Foreman versus Muhammad Ali.
Oh, yeah.
They got the number four best fight of all time. And Ali won the fight, knocking out George Foreman in what was billed the Rumble in the Jungle.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Number three. Oh, you'll remember this one. Arturo Gatti versus Mickey Ward. Not. I don't remember that. The ending of the fight, magnificent. Gatti started off at the end of the third round slugfest. I don't know what. Anyway, it was a big-time fight. Number two. Joe Frazier and Muhammad Ali.
Down goes Frazier.
The fight of the century. Most anticipated fight the boxing world had ever seen. First time two undefeated heavyweight boxers fought for the title. Ali took the first round. Frazier quickly showed why he is the champ. In the 15th round, Frazier hit Ali with one of the most iconic left hooks in boxing history. I remember it. And Frazier won a unanimous decision.
Mm.
Okay. What do you think was the number one?
I'm going to go, because he's not in there yet. I'm going to say, let's go with Mike Tyson and Buster Douglas.
How can you not have said the Thrilla in Manila?
Okay, well, I...
How can you not?
I did say...
You did. That's
I did. You didn't say, Ed, you got it. Number one.
No, I didn't want to tell you.
Oh, well.
It's the Thrilla in Manila. Joe Frazier and Muhammad Ali. Third fight between the two boxers. After Frazier had won the first bout, Ali the second. This was the third one. Didn't have the same anticipation, but both showed why they were legends. Ali started strong in the first rounds, but in the middle ones, Frazier bashed Ali. Ali regained momentum in the last couple of rounds and held on to win the greatest fight. So there you go, my friends. Thank you for being with us. We will be back again on Wednesday. Please remember, freedom works.
Mama Pajama rolled out of bed and she ran to the police station. When the papa found out, he began to shout and he started the investigation. It's against